The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
Saints, if you have your Bibles, let's open up to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. What a delight to see you here gathered for the Lord's Supper. What a delight. We're picking up in Psalm 42. We'll read just the first two verses. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? To the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This is the reading of God's Word. Please have a seat. Would you join me in prayer? Our God, what a precious time it is to be together right now. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the amazing grace of your gospel. We thank you for the way that you meet with needy people like us. We pray that this time together would be overflowing with your blessings. Lord, you know we need them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Saints, it's by the eyes of faith that I know something about you this morning, or today. I look at you, and I see a room full of panting souls. I know it's true. I'll explain to you why I know it's true. You may not even feel it, and yet I know that this is true. I'm looking at a room full of panting souls. Because we have been living in this desert for months now. We have been enduring for what for so many of us is absolutely unprecedented. We have been burdened with trial upon trial. There's the trial that started some time ago and has just seemed to keep going and going and going. But like some tragic waterfall, flowing out of it are all these other new trials that then burden us as well. I look at a people who's been living in a desert for months, bearing burden upon burden upon burden. And there is just simply no doubt that when I look at you, I am looking at a people stretched thin. The first month you might have been doing well. The second month you started to dream of when it would all be done. The third month you're just agonizing, thinking, Lord, how long? And with every month that has gone by, there's just this sense that our resources are depleting. I'm looking at a room full of souls that are stretched thin by how long this has gone on. I look at a room full of souls that, as my Savior would say, are weary and heavy laden. But even as we frame it that way, I hope you hear the encouragement of knowing that our Savior specializes in the weary and heavy laden. You have come to the right place. I just have to say, being here right now, you have made the right choice. Have hope, weary soul. You are in the right place. So in this short period of just sharing the word with you, I won't preach quite as long as I would normally. We have this just psalm that, written for a very different day, seems so perfect for us. You take the picture of the psalm. The psalm tells us of this man, the psalmist, and his soul is in deep need. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. What a lovely picture. What a lovely picture. You can imagine, and I'm sure so many of you can imagine that deer. You probably, many of you have even seen them panting before. You can picture this lovely picture. And what is that deer panting for? That deer is panting for streams of water. It longs for the water. It needs the water. And so the psalmist says, Lord, that's what my soul is like. This is how I feel right now. I need you, God. We can identify with this psalmist, so parched as he is, so dry as he is, so weary as he is. His soul is panting for God. What does he need? He narrows in, lasers in on exactly what he needs. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. His soul is not simply needy. His soul is needy for God. His soul is needy for God. He needs the only true God, the only living God. He does not need any more of his distractions. He does not need any of the competitors that are out there in the land. He needs no false idol. There is one who fits the bill. There is only one. He is the living God. God is always trying to make this comparison. All these other things you go after, don't you realize they are dead? They can't move. They can't speak. They can't hear your prayers. They can do nothing for you except bring judgment on you. And God says, I alone am the living God. And the psalmist cries out, recognizing that, saying, Lord, I need you, only you, the living God. In times of clarity, we recognize, we can realize that it is only God who satisfies. In times of distraction, whatever those may be, whether they're prosperity otherwise, for some reason that's just not so clear for us. Maybe a little bit of fun will satisfy right now. Maybe a new relationship will satisfy right now. Maybe a new career will satisfy right now. It's only in those moments of clarity when all of that is crumbling away that then you recognize, no, only God will satisfy right now. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And yet, even as this psalmist is crying out to his God, he knows that his God is the living God who can actually hear him right now. Even as he cries out to a God who he knows is listening, he is still missing something. When shall I come and appear before God? That's interesting, right? On the one hand, he knows God hears him. On the other hand, he says, and yet I don't have something. When am I going to have that? When will I be able to appear before God? He is longing in his day for the special blessing that was the temple. He is longing, as the psalm will go on, for the assembly of God's people. He is longing to have that special blessing, a blessing designed by God for a people that he likewise designed to need that blessing. He needs all of God's blessings. Not just some of them. So you can have a child of God who knows his God is with him, knows his God is hearing him, and yet that child of God can and should absolutely be able to recognize when he does not have all of the blessings that God wants for him. The psalmist is still missing something. When, Lord, when is this going to change? When shall I come and appear before God? Saints, our souls are panting for what they lack. To say that this trial has been hard is such an understatement. This trial has been all-consuming for so many of us. The stress just keeps coming. The stress that comes with every new headline. The stress that comes with every heated conversation, whether directed at you or overheard in your family or your circles of relationships. The stress just keeps coming. Sometimes the stress bubbles up beyond that to outright fear. That fear of what if? Why do we do that to ourselves? The what ifs. What if? And then I fill in the most horrendous blank I can. What if everything goes bad? What if I lose that person? What if we lose our society? What if it all is ruined now? And the fear has been creeping in for months in this desert now. And in the midst of it, we've been doing it in this weird distance from one another. So much of the Bible actually hinges upon the idea of one another. Loving one another, praying with one another, being there for one another. And what a trial that has been able to disrupt even those bonds. So the stress and the stress and the stress keeps coming. Then the fear and the fear and the fear keeps coming. And there you are, distant from the people of God. And wrapping all of this together is just this sense. All of us should be able to agree on this, that we just are uncertain about what anything is going to be. What is the outcome of any of this? We don't know. And that is so unnerving when so much is on the line. And that's so unnerving for those of you who are such good planners. This trial has truly been all consuming, and our souls are panting because we have been living in it. Now, what do we need? See, this is where you got to be clear. We do not simply need relief. And I say that as one who prays daily for relief from all of this. But that is not fundamentally, essentially what we need. What do we need? Our souls need the true and living God. We need Him and Him alone. He alone satisfies. And so as we pray for our circumstances to change, we seek the God who we really need above all. Because that rock can rest secure even if nothing changes. Whereas everything could change, and if you're wrong with God, you're still in the same plight. We need the true and living God. And what are we lacking? In the midst of this trial, we have been persevering through these incredibly hard times without the full range of God's blessings. Has God been faithful? Amen. Has God provided? Amen. And for some of you, what sweet news it is to hear that you are finding in your walk new spark, new life, new vibrance. Praise God. And yet, even as we honor all of God's provision, it is not discontentment to say, Lord, you have made us for more. You have prescribed more for us. And so if I only have this slice of your blessings and none of this other slice of your blessings, I am actually missing something. That is not discontentment. That is honoring that God made us for more. What have we been lacking? We've been lacking so much. Do you realize we have yet to have a normal Lord's Day? You know, if you're A through K, do you have any friends on L through Z? Do we not miss the simple unity of the people of God? Amen, we do. And even as some of you have most certainly benefited from the blessing of streaming technology, was there not that time at some point you're like, man, this is good, but oh man, it's lacking. You know, and so often it's like we're living in the future, but then there's that moment when the internet drops. Brian's right there. You got to know this. Boom. Right? And we find that in streaming, we do not have everything. In streaming, we do not have everything. We lack furthermore the fellowship that our lives, frankly, are built around. We lack each other. We lack each other's love. We lack each other's encouragement. We lack each other's perspective. We lack simply the blessing of someone's arm around our shoulder saying, I'm with you. We have lacked so much, and today, special focus to say we have been lacking the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper We consider it to be a means of grace. That is to say, God, through that supper, actually gives grace to believers. He actually strengthens our faith through participating in the Lord's Supper in the way that He calls us to do so. I ask you, could any of you use an extra measure of grace in these days? I ask you this, could any of you use strengthened faith in these days? We have been missing this. We have not had this. God's special tool to build your faith and pour out grace upon you. And we have not been able to have this. One author writes that the Lord's Supper is a meal where God meets His people in joyful celebration. That is to say that Jesus Christ Himself is the host of this meal. He is our host. He welcomes you to come to Him and joyfully celebrate what He has done for you. And I just have to ask you, could you use a little bit of that these days? Joyful celebration with your Savior Himself. I could use more of that. Whether we fully understood it or not, our souls are panting today. And so we praise God that we get to come to this table right now. We praise God that we got to carve out this slice, that providence worked out, that here we are about to partake of this blessed means of grace. The Lord's table, it is built first and foremost on the gospel, on the gospel itself. Jesus Christ died to satisfy our soul's greatest need. What was that greatest need? It wasn't a functioning society. It wasn't a vaccine. It wasn't a healthy economy. The greatest need we had was reconciliation with God. We were guilty criminals, born that way, lived that way. And there was a perfect judge watching. And there we were, just storing up guilt upon guilt upon guilt for ourselves. And God was not going to be mocked. And then there's this stunning twist in the gospel story. There's this stunning twist when the guilty sinner, so desperately in need of reconciliation, so without hope or help, found that the God who should judge them was willing to provide the solution. It's stunning. God, who had every right in His holiness and justice to simply strike us down, said instead, I will pay the price for their sins. And so the Father sends His only begotten Son. The Son says, yes, I'll go. And He's nailed to that cross to bear the curse of a wretched people who had only shaken their fists at Him all their lives long. Nailed to that cross to pay a precious price so that a people could be ransomed. What stunning price He was willing to pay. What stunning love He was willing to show. And this is what you need to know today if you are not reconciled to God. Just because you're here for a special Lord's Day service means nothing about whether you are right with God. There is this, on the one hand, severe justice hanging over your head. You know you're guilty. You do. No one has to play games about that one. You know you have sinned against your Creator, against the lawgiver. You know He hasn't missed any of it. And yet, for some stunning reason, He says to you, I will forgive you. All you need to do is trust in that work that Jesus Christ did. That He died for your sins. That He rose from the grave and conquered death on your behalf. That He's coming again. Reconciliation is a moment away. If you would humble yourself, turn from your sin, and believe. You have this amazing God and this amazing offer of love. And that's on you now. That's on you now to hear it, to believe it, to live in light of it. Today, former rebels are called to dine with their God. And as we partake the good news of salvation will be ministered afresh to our souls. Proverbs 25, verse 25, it says, like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. We are a people thirsty for good news. To all of the guilty, I proclaim to you good news. Those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he did on that cross, in his death and in his resurrection, they have all their sins paid for. Yes, all of them. Yes, that one. That one that makes you feel so guilty. That one that you have committed so often. That one that makes you feel simply ashamed. Child of God, the price was paid even for that. We get so burdened down by our betrayals. We get so burdened down by our backsliding. The burden is crushing sometimes. You feel the weight of it. It truly is awful. It truly is ugly. It truly is wicked and wretched, all of the above. But what the Lord's table calls you to look at is not to sit there staring at your sins, but to remember how precious a price was paid for you. Will you not humble yourself and receive some good news? That if the Son of God is willing to die for you, that must be sufficient for whatever you feel guilty for right now. Praise God. To the weary, there is good news. Jesus Christ has provided rest for your souls. He is the one who worked for your salvation, and so, child of God, you can rest. To those who feel far from God today, there is good news. You are accepted by your heavenly Father. Hear that. Believe that. You, child of God, are accepted by your heavenly Father. The fact is that you belong at the family table. That is true of you, child of God. Our souls thirst for God, for the living God. And so, child of God, I preach to you in good confidence, come in faith to the fountain of living waters. Believe the sermon that the prophet Isaiah preaches to you today. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Child of God, feed your soul on the gospel. Delight yourself in the good news. And may your panting soul be satisfied today. Amen. Let's pray. Our great God, we praise you, the only one who satisfies. And we pray that by your Spirit, you would stir up in your people faith. Faith to see their every need met on that cross. Faith to be welcomed back to the family table. Lord, would you bless your panting flock today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.